Welcome to Semper Reformanda. We are 10 seconds post-recording the regular show. John definitely just let it all go there at the end, and I just sat and observed it and just thought, you know, Lord, we trust you in this. And there we go. What do you want to talk about?
Well, I want to do two things. First of all, I want to talk about why Justin and I at times will pick up a hammer and break down the porcelain theology that is being, you know, shiny and built and everybody's excited about it. And it's just not built on a rock of Christ. So, you know, one of the things that I've been told that I cannot basically disagree with Piper MacArthur or Doug Wilson, specifically Doug, if I've not first contacted them. Well, here's the difference. If Doug and I had a private conversation and there was something about that conversation that really bothered me about something you said, then I need to go to him in person and talk to him about that.
And not talk about it on a podcast.
No. I can't believe he said this to me in a personal conversation. Well, no one can verify that. No one can verify that conversation happened. No one can verify that he actually said that to me. And that's slander. You know, that's it is not slander, and it's not unbiblical to evaluate publicly what men have published publicly. Right. So if you put this out there and you said, thus saith the Lord, I have every right to say, OK, I'm going to take what you've said and compare it to scripture and then publicly show that you're wrong, because you need to recant. You need to pull this back. You need to say this is, you know, you need to repent of this. And that's not an unbiblical way to handle that, because it's not a personal offense. This is a theological. Correct. I'm not personally offended by Doug. I am saying, Doug, you're wrong.
What we are doing here, I'm just going to pile on here. Maybe bad choice of words. I'm going to jump in. I agree. If it's a personal offense, 100%, we should go to an individual, not make it public. If it's things that are by nature not public yet, like if it's not public knowledge, then yes, we should be very discreet. I mean, I was having a conversation with a man in our congregation this morning about some things, and we were talking about this. It's like, yeah, there are some concerns we have about this person that's begun attending or this person that's begun attending the church, and we just need to be watchful and vigilant here. But we're not talking about this publicly in any way, because that would be very inappropriate.
That's right.
You know, this is a private conversation based upon knowledge that he and I have, and it's like, let's talk well about how we can protect the unity of the body and be helpful to this individual. But we're not going to go just talking to everyone about it. That's very different. But if you have published thing by the nature of that you have made it public, if you have a public teaching platform where you are piping out content to be consumed by people to the masses, you know, and you have put your name on it and you have stamped it and you have done it, then it is up for criticism.
That's right.
I mean, I would say the same thing about our stuff. Yep. I mean, people criticize us. I don't get butthurt over it. I mean, it's like, you can critique our doctrine. That's a normal thing to do.
Right.
We're not critiquing you as a human, but what we are critiquing is your understanding of the scriptures and of the faith once for all delivered to the saints. And if you're a public writer and you're a public teacher of the scriptures and you're a pastor and you have a public ministry, then it is entirely fair game for us to assess that doctrine and weigh it and then talk about whether it is right or wrong. Because bad doctrine is very dangerous.
Yeah. Well, in the early days, like during Calvin and Luther, they would write books back and forth. That's how they would handle this.
And it was pretty public.
Yeah. Well, I mean, the Auctor Arta Creed is a great example of a public debate that was happening, right?
Sure.
And then the whole Christ is an example of how
the Marrow controversy.
Yeah.
But yeah, agree. If I may.
Yeah.
I'm going to just... sort of, this sounds like we're defending ourselves again, but I just want to be clear here. If you read the New Testament, PSA, not claiming in any way to be like Paul. Paul was an apostle, all right? We are not. We're pastors. But we can look at the scriptures and observe the apostolic patterns and be helped. We're definitely helped by the way that they understand the Old Testament and the way they understood the ministry of Christ and the church and all this. But I think we can take our cue from Paul in Galatians, for example. Some of the sharpest language in all of the scriptures is found, it comes from the pen of the Apostle Paul in defending the clarity of the gospel and the exclusivity of Christ, in particular, Christ alone. Hmm. I mean, think about what he says in Galatians about trying to add anything to Christ. It is not Jesus plus. It is Christ or it's law. It is Christ or it's you. There is no middle ground. And he is punchy. He throws a bunch of elbows, and he even will use some very personally strong language about his opponents, about the circumcision party, saying, I wish they would emasculate themselves. Mm. You know, and why does he say all that? Because he understands that trying to weave any work of the law into the fabric of justification compromises the gospel and the sufficiency of Christ and thereby torpedoes the faith and torpedoes the church. And so it is literally heaven and hell hang in the balance when you start to talk about this stuff. And so that's why we're passionate. And that's why we're criticizing and critiquing doctrine publicly, because it's been published and made public and it's wrong.
Yeah.
Well, and the gospel is at stake, bro.
Yeah. And why these three guys? Why not, you know, other people? And I would say, you know, these are the men that influence young reformed people the most. And I think it's just healthy for us to say, they say good things. Like I would say with John and John, Piper and MacArthur, they say other things that are helpful and good, and they stand for things that are great. But beware.
And both of them are, I know them personally, you do too. Yeah. I mean, they're well-intentioned guys.
Right. But beware, like they are very confusing and they're becoming more so as they get older. And so I think we need to pay attention to that. With Wilson, on the other hand, I just don't have anything good to say about him. I just don't. I don't have anything positive. He is deceitful. He's slimy.
He's crude and crass in the way he speaks.
He purposely is deceitful in how he says things. And and he's crude and crass. And so I don't care if he's right politically. I don't care if he's right winged and he says the right things about homosexuality. I don't really care.
There are plenty of cultural commentators who have Judeo-Christian principles who make some good observations.
Yeah.
I mean, yeah, cultural commentary is cultural commentary. And we can agree. I mean, this is why we draw the line that I hadn't planned to say this, but I mean, this is why we draw lines like we do, John, about we don't make your political views a test of Christian orthodoxy.
Yeah.
Because there are people that you can agree with politically who don't trust Christ at all. Mm-hmm. I mean, so again, we've got to think well about this stuff. There's natural law and common grace considerations in the common kingdom for sure. And we need to think well about how we live in the common kingdom and vote in the common kingdom and all those things according to the law of God and everything.
Yeah.
But there are people who can agree with you on that who are not Christians, who do not understand that Christ's righteousness and the atoning sacrifice of Christ is our salvation.
Yeah.
Wholesale.
Yep.
And so agree with you. Like I don't give a rip about a person's political views and when it comes to the nature of the gospel.
That's right.
You know?
Well, and this is why when you look at things like G3
or his cultural insightfulness or whatever, I don't care.
Yeah. You know? So like Doug Wilson was invited to G3, which is heavily influenced by Lordship Salvation.
Yeah.
And I'm like, how do you lack discernment to understand that? Why would you let Doug and even Desiring God has had Doug.
Well, bro,
Ligonier has had Doug. I mean, I'm just like, what are we doing here? What happened to our discernment factors here?
Well, here's the thing too. I mean, this show really is like the why you pay for SR, I guess, because we're going here, there, and everywhere. But I mean, we've noticed this in our own stream. I mean, the Second London Confession, 1689 LBC. There are a lot of people like in the kind of founders ministry camp and some others that have lost their minds over political and social issues. I mean, it's almost like, well, to be a Second London Confession person means that you are very outspoken about all these social and political things. Like you need to be like fill in the blank.
Yeah.
You know, I'm not trying to throw dudes under the bus, but it's like, fellas, we need to calm down about political views and about, you know, LGBTQ stuff. And we need to calm down about like men and women and gender roles. And like, literally we're going to manipulate the doctrine of the Trinity so that we can uphold complementarianism as we understand it. Like, what are we doing? And like, just to be clear, I mean, the scripture's clear on human sexuality. The scripture is clear on, you know, the fact that murder is wrong and all kinds of other things, no argument there. And the scripture is very clear that men are not women and women are not men. But when we will manipulate a fundamental doctrine like the doctrine of the Trinity and start talking about the eternal subordination of the Son, you know, and compromise what the ancient creed said about the nature of God the Son in order to uphold our views on gender, we have got a serious problem.
Well, and, now you get me all.
You ask, well, why is he invited to G3? It's because I'm not trying to be uncharitable, and I would only say this on SR, but I fear that in many cases, the tie that binds is actually not the gospel as articulated in the confession.
No.
The tie that binds is something else.
Yeah. This is where SR is going. This is where Theocast is going. This is where my church and heart is going. Justin and I have been talking about this, so I'm going to go ahead and just launch it out and start us here. What's sad is that the people who should be seeking first the kingdom of God, and the good news of that kingdom is the gospel, and we should protect it with all our might, because the only way the kingdom of God expands is by people preaching the gospel. And if you change that, what are we doing? Like, so for instance, when I think about when Christ says, come to me, all you who are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. And then he says to you, now, listen, here's how you pray. You trust in me, and this is what you seek. You seek my kingdom. Justin, people are not seeking the kingdom of God. They're trying to unite the kingdom of darkness and make it moral so that it's easy to live in. And I'm telling you, that is what's destroying Christianity, is that we're actually trying to change the kingdom of darkness by means of force.
Yeah. We're trying to whitewash the common kingdom.
That's right.
And it's just, that's not the project of the church. Mm-mm. The mission of the church is inherently redemptive. It's to build the redemptive kingdom through the preaching of the word and the administration of the sacraments and in life in the church.
And Jesus says it's not going to be powerful.
No, and to be a city on a hill and to be salt and light does not mean that we redeem the culture and transform the world.
No.
It means that we do good works in faith. We love one another in such a way, and we love our neighbor in such a way that we actually glorify God through the life we live. That's true. Mm. But then what we're doing all that for, in one sense, it's to glorify our Father, but it's to then invite people in to taste and see that the Lord is good.
That's right.
You know, and so that's different, entirely different than this whole business of like, we need to moralize and bring the common kingdom into alignment with the moral law, and we'll do it by any means necessary. Now, I do agree that from a natural law perspective, it would go better for the United States or for any nation for that matter to have laws that reflect the moral law. True. But I don't understand that's my calling as a believer. You know, and that's not going to be what unites me to other Christians, is this mission to see the moral law of God be the law of our land. That's not going to be my mission in life.
No.
I want to see Christians take the moral law of God seriously.
That's right.
Be crushed by it and driven to Jesus, and then say, now that that law no longer condemns us, man, it's good and holy and pure, and let's live together like that. That's what I want to see.
Well, and this is what, it's the tangibleness of seeing something now. Like, Justin, where there is morality, there is comfortableness. Like, listen, I'm not being accosted. I'm not being, my stuff isn't being stolen. Yeah. But what's interesting is that
I'm not going to be persecuted.
Right. And we get intrigued by the life of ease. And we are warned that in the common kingdom, you are going to suffer and you're going to die. And there's this movement out there. I've been listening to a lot of post-mill people, and they're like, oh, you just have a horrible view. It's very Platonic. And you only look at, the end of the world. It's doomsday. And I was like, listen, I am just trying to actually live according to what Christ has warned me, that if I stand for him, I am not going to see the world agree with me. I'm going to see the world disagree. And the way I love this is that he says, you are aliens. So I'll just end with this thought here. You're aliens. You are from another land. You're from another king. And listen, we gather into the embassies, the outposts, and we receive Christ and we're strengthened. And what happens there is different. This is why when someone walks into the doors of your church, it shouldn't look like the world. It shouldn't sound like the world, right? It shouldn't have the ethics of the world. And we shouldn't be talking about the politics of the world, for crying out loud. This is our country's, it's where we gather to talk about our king. And then we go out from that, outside the embassy walls. And what are we doing? We're looking for defectors. We're looking for people who want to be saved and rescued from the land that they're living in that's crushing them.
Well, dude, we are like, in Hebrews 11, 13 to 16. I mean, we're like those people who are looking for a better country. And
that's
it's not the one they came from, because you could return there. It's a heavenly one. You know, I mean, that's what we're talking about here.
That's right.
And the church, I mean, last thought that, I mean, we literally have gone here, there, and everywhere. The church has always been a counterculture. Mm-hmm. And the fact that we think that the church should dominate the culture is a very strange understanding if we read the pages of the New Testament. Christ is victorious in the end. And I think, I've been convicted lately just in thinking, I think that there will be far more people in the new heavens and the new earth than any of us would care to dream.
That's right.
I think the Lord will save so many, and is saving and has saved so many. So this is not short selling. you know, the power of God to save or anything like this. But the world will not be dominated by the church this side of the resurrection. I don't know where we would ever get that from. And I also look to the apostles. They do not spill ink on transforming society.
No.
They assume that the church is different from society and will always be the counterculture, and then talk about then how to live well, you know, in the midst of a world that's different.
That's right.
And so anyway,
well,
there's this
parting shot. You look at MacArthur, he's very much concerned about the culture. You look at Piper, he's very much concerned about the culture. And then obviously Doug Wilson. And church, I mean, listeners, fellow kingdom citizens, let me encourage you, keep your eyes on Christ, the author and finisher of your faith. Make him the supreme joy of your life, not your obedience. Justin, this is where I was going with all of this. We are so distracted about getting into the kingdom and making sure that we get in safely that we are able to do the work of the kingdom. True. And it just driving me nuts, man. This constant like examination and self-examination. Am I going to make it? Christ is like, you've made it. Rest in me. Now go pursue letting other people know about how to get in.
Yeah. It's like we spend all of our time cramming for the citizenship exam that we're worried we haven't passed rather than just living as citizens.
That's a good one.
Yeah, and I don't know, man.
Anyways, we're out of time. We've gone way too long.
With the Apostle Paul, I would say, like, who am I to judge those outside the church?
Right. Yeah.
But I'm to judge those who are inside. So as a pastor, I'm not literally going to sit on my, you know, moral high horse and judge the world.
That's right.
Because it's not even what I'm called to do.
But I will call out those who are keeping people from getting in, and that's what 100%. We're trying to do.
And I will help my people think well about living in this world.
That's right.
Absolutely. But it's not my calling to transform it. All right. Yeah. We've said a ton. We've gone long. We've talked about a lot, and hope some of that was clarifying, helpful, encouraging, something. I hope some of it was good for you.
I'll drop this here. Justin and I are trying to do a live event, possibly, maybe. We're working through the details of that in spring of next year. Near the Asheville area.
True.
So
yeah. We're hoping we can start doing more of those kinds of things, but details will be forthcoming for sure if we're able to pull it off. So
yep.
Thank you for listening, guys. Thank you for your support and for your encouragement, the kind words that you send our way. Thank you for your questions too. And if we can't get to your particular questions, please forgive us. There's a lot on our plates. We try to answer as many of those kinds of things as we can. We try to be interactive with you on the app, all of that. Thank you for your grace. Thank you for your support. Talk next week. Peace.